Have you ever seen one of those YouTube videos where someone is trying to sneak into some restricted area, like an area where maybe you have to pay to get in or use some sort of ticket, and this person tries to get in without, you know, using those means? I was watching this one video where there's this two guys, and they were wearing this high visibility yellow vest, one of the safety vests, and they were trying to see if they could get into these various places that were restricted. They either cost or there was some sort of ticket, and it was actually pretty impressive. They were able to get in some pretty impressive places. They got into a couple of movie theaters just by walking in and, I guess, looking official. I think it was three movie theaters. They got into a museum, so I guess they have an appreciation for art. They got into the zoo, but most impressive was, this was all in like the Los Angeles area. They got into Universal Studios, Los Angeles. So they just sort of walked in through the exit where people walk out. They had a clipboard and the high visibility vest, and that is how they got in. They were able to sneak into these places because it seemed like they had an excuse to be there. Right, the people who were, I guess, guarding the place, they gave them a pass. They gave them an exception because they looked official. By wearing the yellow vest, it seemed like they had a good reason to be there. Well, this is how the world works sometimes. I mean, if you think about it, companies spend thousands and thousands of dollars protecting their intellectual data from hackers. But you know what they say the most vulnerable part of a corporation like that is? It's the human element, right? Because humans are trusting, and that's what, you know, they were exploiting. So this is just how the world works sometimes. Well, with that in mind, go ahead and open up your Bible. Open up your Bible, Matthew chapter 19. We're going to start reading from verse 22. Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 22. You guys know the story. This is the story of the rich young ruler. Matthew 19. Starting in verse 16. It says, "And someone came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit or obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter eternal life, keep the commandments.' Then he said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept. What still am I lacking?' Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." In these verses, we see the story of the rich young man, and he wants to know how to inherit eternal life. Now, there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from this story in and of itself, but I want to focus on one here tonight. Now, there are a lot of people that believe that heaven is just sort of open access. It's easy to get into because God loves you. God wants you there. So everyone will be there. Well, they're partly right, right? God does love us. God does want us. God does want us to be there. But they're also partly wrong, right? There are going to be many people who won't be there because they're not part of the kingdom. But I understand why they think this, right? This is sort of the ideal situation, I guess. If I had to write my own story, that's how I would write it. I would say I could live how I want and still get the rewards at the end. That's how I would write the story, but that's not how it is, and Jesus tells us this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13, Jesus talks about two roads. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus says heaven is going to have some restrictions, and many people won't be there. He says the easy road, the road that leads to destruction, there will be many people following that road, but the road that leads to life, only few will find it. It's like heaven is restricted access, I guess you could say. Only members of the kingdom will be able to enter. And there aren't any excuses. There aren't any high visibility vests that we can wear that will allow us in. The only way we are going to get in is by being a part of the people of God and living according to the way that God has set out for us to live. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about the things that won't get us or won't help us get into heaven. And we're going to do that by looking at the rich young ruler. We're going to look at the rich young ruler in his life, and learn about the things that won't help us into eternal life. Before we get into the lesson, actually, I found a card, a debit card, credit card, whatever it may be, in the parking lot. I know who it belongs to, but you weren't here. I don't think whenever I was getting ready. So if you know you're missing your card, come and find me. And if you don't come and find me, I'll come and find you after services. Thanks for lunch, by the way. I appreciate it. Just kidding. I did not do that. Also told Troy that I wasn't going to make fun of him for singing the wrong song this morning. So I'm not going to do that this morning. All right, so what are some of the things that won't help us into eternity? Well, one of the things that's not going to help us into eternity is wealth. Notice with me this morning that the young man that Jesus speaks to is a very wealthy young man. But his wealth didn't excuse him from listening to Jesus. On the judgment day, his wealth isn't going to mean anything. He's not going to be able to go before God on the judgment day and stand before the throne and look at God and say, well, how much do you want for me to get it? That is not how it works. As a matter of fact, in this example, we've already read it, but in this example, when he asked Jesus what he needs to obtain eternal life, Jesus says, give up your wealth. Give it to the poor. You see, his wealth wasn't going to get him into heaven, and God wasn't going to make any exceptions just because he was a rich guy. As a matter of fact, in the next section, turn back to Matthew 19, Jesus tells us that we ultimately must rely on God. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, this is after the incident with the rich young ruler. He says, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. See, we can't rely on our wealth. Got to rely on God. And this is an important lesson for us because we live in a world where wealth is so important. I mean, think about it with me. There are some people who live their lives trying to get more and more wealth and find ways to keep their wealth, and wealth is so important to them that they'll just do anything. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll destroy others just so that they can get wealth. Why? Because it's important. Think about businesses. Businesses will spend money to find a way to streamline their production so that they can sell you the same thing at the same cost to you, but at a cheaper cost to them. See, money is an important part of our world, but we understand that. We understand why money is an important part of our world, because wealth, riches, can be a beneficial thing. Wealth can get us into restricted places, right? Let's say someone owns a restaurant, a fancy restaurant, and they have one customer that frequently attends the restaurant and spends a lot of money. Spends well over the average spender at this restaurant, and they leave great big tip at the end of the meal, and they're just a pleasure to have at the restaurant. And let's say this customer comes in on a Friday night, it's busy, there's like a two-hour wait. For the most part, people aren't just walking into that restaurant and taking seats. It's, in a sense, restricted. But let's say this guy walks in, and the owner of the restaurant comes to the front and says, "Well, John, welcome back. We've got a table for you." Why? Because he's wealthy. He spends a lot of money. The business values his business. The restaurant values his business. See, wealth can get us into restricted places. Wealth can keep us out of trouble. We know this is true by looking at the criminal justice system, right? Wealthy people tend not to get in trouble. Why? Because they can hire the fancy lawyers and avoid the jail time or avoid the sentence. And poor people, they're not as lucky all the time. This is what we see in our criminal justice system. See, wealth can get you into some restricted places, and wealth can keep you out of trouble. But notice with me that wealth does not excuse us from God's standard. Wealth will not get us into heaven. And let me nuance that a little bit. I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek a good job so that we can support our family and save up for retirement. I'm not saying that wealth isn't important, but we do need to understand that our riches come from God. And that's where the focus of our wealth needs to be. We need to use our wealth to further God's purposes. And that means supporting family. That means saving up for retirement. That means helping the needy. We use our wealth for godliness. But we need to make sure that wealth isn't the most important thing in our lives. Jesus tells us this. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus talks about here in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about where we should store up treasures. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." See, there are things that are more important than earthly riches. We need to make sure that we remember this. Because I'm sure, just like the rich young ruler, there will be some well-meaning religious people who miss out on the kingdom because they are chasing wealth. Well, instead of focusing on wealth, we need to focus on being the people of God. Because wealth isn't going to get us into eternity. Being a child of God will. That's number one. What else won't help us into eternity? Notice with me that age won't help us into eternity. Matthew chapter 19 tells us that this man, this rich man, he was also a young man. And while he may have been a young man, his youth didn't stop him from doing what Jesus said. On judgment day, he couldn't use his age as an excuse. "Well, God, I was so young back then, and I thought I would have more time to mature." That is not going to work. Now, I'm not trying to say that children aren't innocent before God. I want to make sure that that's understood. But there comes a point in a human's life where we're not innocent anymore, right? Because all have sinned and turned short of the glory of God. This is another important lesson for us, because we live in a world that tends to make excuses and exceptions for young people. And for young people, that's got to be frustrating, because if you think about it, the world does not have high expectations for young people. The world has very low expectations for young people. And I'd be mad about that. I'd be very upset about that. I mean, think about it. there was a push a couple of years ago to provide protection, sexual protection for young people in high school. There was that push. And why was that idea being pushed? Well, because society has low expectations for young people. They expect young people to be promiscuous. And they'll say things, they'll excuse it by saying, well, they're just young, they'll mature later on in life. Boys will be boys. It's upsetting. If you think about it, our criminal justice system is sort of based on this thought. We have an entire court system that is based on this idea, the juvenile court, where if you make a mistake when you're young, it won't affect you when you're old. They'll excuse that. And I'm not saying I disagree with the juvenile court. I'm just trying to make a point. This is the way our society views young people. At time, we can make excuses for them and exceptions for them, but notice with me that young people are not going to be able to make excuses before God on Judgment Day. God is not going to give them an exception just because of their age. On Judgment Day, as a young person, I'm not going to be able to go before God and say, well, God, I was planning on maturing later on in life. It's not how it works. You know, Paul understood this. Paul talks to Timothy, who is a young preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and whenever he's talking about how to deal with the false teachers in the church and how to teach truth, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, look at what he says. Paul tells Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. See, Timothy's youth, his young age, didn't give him an excuse to just live any way that he wanted. Timothy was still supposed to be an example to the church. One more verse here for this point. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we need to be ready for that. Because our age not going to excuse us from anything. Our age isn't going to get us into heaven. What will is being a citizen of the kingdom. That's number two. One more point, things that won't help us get into eternity, and that is our status. In Matthew chapter 19, we learn that this rich young man was, in fact, a rich young man, but in the other account, in Luke chapter 18, we learn something else about him. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18, it says, a ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So we learn something new about this rich young man here in Luke chapter 18. We learn that he is a rich young ruler. He had a very high social status. But notice with me that this young ruler's social status didn't change anything for Jesus. It didn't change Jesus' expectations for him. He wouldn't be able to use his status on Judgment Day and say, well, you know, I'm a ruler. You could just let me in. That wasn't going to happen. This point is also important for us because we see this sort of thing in our culture, right? If someone looks like they have a certain social status, then they can get away with some things. And they can do things that some people may not be able to do. For instance, if a police officer pulls over their police chief or police commissioner, I can almost guarantee you that the chief of police is not getting a speeding ticket. That is probably not going to happen. Why? Because the chief of police has a certain social status, and the young police officer who pulled him over made an exception for him. Right? Another example, I am probably never going to be invited to speak at a graduation for a very prestigious college like Harvard or anything like that. Because you know who speak at those graduations? Famous people, famous politicians, presidents speak at those sort of thing. And why? Well, because of their social status. See, some people make exceptions for others based on their status, based on their social status. Well, it's not this way with God. Our social status doesn't mean very much to him. And we saw this in the story. This rich young ruler, he had a high social status. He was a ruler. But Jesus still expected him to live a godly life. James talks a little bit about this in the book of James. James chapter 2, he talks about judging with partiality. James chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing fine clothes and say, 'You sit here in the good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'Well, you stand over there, or sit down by my footstool,' you have not made distinctions among distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" You see, James tells us we need to make sure that we don't show partiality just because of someone's social status. Why? Because that's not what God does. God doesn't show partiality based on our social status. Well, as Christians, this is an important lesson for us, because sometimes we can fall into this trap regarding the social status. And I'm not talking about social status on the outside of the church. Maybe I'm talking about social status within the church. You know, maybe we say to ourselves, "Well, I do all of these things. You know, I lead in the public prayers. I lead the singings. I preach. Surely God will make an exception for me." Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not, it doesn't matter if we're up here preaching every Sunday or leading singing every Sunday. If we're not living a godly life, then it does not matter. Jesus talks a little bit about this back in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, let's head back there. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" See, these people may have had a high social status. They may have been very popular within their religious circles, but they weren't living as a citizen of the kingdom of God. They weren't living according to God's standards. So the same is true for us. We need to make sure that we are living according to God's standards as a member of the kingdom of heaven, because our status, our popularity, it's not going to get us into eternity. Being a child of God will. We're not going to be able to sneak our way into heaven. We're not going to be able to wear our age, our wealth, or our social status as some sort of high visibility vest where God will make an exception for us. That's not how it works. The only way we'll gain access to heaven is by living as God's people. So let me ask, are you a child of God tonight? This morning, Jeff talked about how there's going to be a day where our lives come to an end. And we don't know when that day will be. Maybe we'll live a long and fulfilling life. And you know what? Maybe we won't. Maybe our day or my day is tomorrow or a week from now. I don't know. But if I'm not a child of God on that day, then my wealth, my age, and my status is not going to save me. On that day, I need to be a child of God. So if there's someone who's here tonight who's not a child of God, what's stopping you? Maybe there's someone who wants to enter through the narrow gate, become a child of God for the first time through being allegiant to Him. If you want to become a Christian tonight, don't let anyone stop you. You could do that tonight. Or maybe there's someone who's walked away from the Lord. They haven't been living life as a child of God. If you want to repent and turn back to the Lord, you could do that tonight also. Whatever you need, you could come now as we stand and as we sing.